Praise God. Hallelujah. He did it just for us, didn't he? He did it just for us. Praise God. Our gracious God, we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, this short time that we have to worship you this morning, that you will continually send your healing powers through this church. And that, Father, you will speak to us, Lord Jesus, in this time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Easter is a wonderful time for us to be able to give thanks and praise to a living God. Amen. You have been a wonderful church this morning. Your patience has just been incredible. We praise God for you this morning. If you will pray with me for a short moment, I'd like to share with you a short sermon this morning called Alleluia. Now, I have about 9 pages of sermon stuff that I was ready to preach. It's all here. Here it is. It's all here. But while I was sitting there, I was reflective of in 1997. You know, I've been a pastor for 30 years. Entered the ministry at 14. Just a little younger than that, but I was one of those country guys that got blessed and came to Christ and got my call and started preaching the next week. But a lot of times what I say up here, what I tell congregations, every now and then I am personally challenged. In 1997, my father, I was moved from Springfield, Illinois, when I was a pastor at Grace United Methodist Church, and I was moved to Rantoul, Illinois. And when I was moved to Rantoul, Illinois, the people at Grace Church in Springfield was up in an uproar, and everybody and their mama was sad to see me go, for the most part. And then as soon as I opened the door of the parsonage, my wife handed me the phone and said my father had just died. In order for you to understand the meaning of that impact on my life, see, my father was a country boy. He was one of 15. And my father was the baby of the family. And my father, you know, he was a steel plant worker. He was a blue-collar worker. He just, he ran hard. Can I say it that way? Amen. And he played hard. So my father never had a conversation with me. Never had a conversation with me until I was 29 years old. And at 29, he turned to me and he said, "You're different than any young man I've ever met. What's different about you?" And for the first conversation I had with my father, it was one about coming to know Jesus. And my father came, and that day my father gave his heart to Christ, and he cried in my arms and he apologized for all the stuff he never had done in my life. He apologized for not being at all my track meets. He apologized when I became athlete of the year for the whole state. He apologized for that. He apologized for not coming to my graduation from Delaware State University. He apologized for not coming to my graduation from the University of Delaware. He apologized for not coming to get my, when I got my master's degree. He apologized and said, "Son, I'm so sorry." But you know what? All of what he did not mean anything when he gave his heart to Jesus. And every morning that my father lived, he called me at 6 a.m. and said, "Son, how are you doing today?" And that morning, my father didn't call me. I knew he was kind of ill, but I didn't know he was that ill. And when I got that call, everything I had talked about and preached about Jesus was put in question. Because then I asked the question, I said, "Lord, why him? Why now?" Then I asked the question, "Is there really death after this resurrection? Is there really life beyond what I've been preaching about. Is God real? I started questioning myself, whether or not what I've been preaching about, what I've been teaching about, what I've been sharing with people, and who and the young men and young women I've been discipling over the years, have I been leading them correctly? And I talked to my sister on the phone, and my sister said, "You won't believe it. Your father passed away, but oh my goodness, let me tell you how he passed away." She said that in his bedroom, everybody from the community had surrounded the house and packed in his bedroom, and he was listening to a tape of me preaching, and everybody was singing hymns when he died. And I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "You lying." That's what I said. I said, "You lying. That don't even sound right." She said, "I'm trying to tell you." Says, "Your dad had changed so much that everybody in the community was mourning, but they were celebrating because they knew he was in glory." And my sister said, "Son, don't you cry for your daddy. He's all right. He's in glory." And I'm sitting there saying, "But he's my daddy." She said, "He's in glory. He's got a new body." And I was sitting there going, "Now, wait a minute. I'm struggling with this thing. This is my daddy on one hand, but I'm the preacher on the other hand." And finally, God gave me peace in my heart. And I said, "Yes, I know where my daddy is. My daddy's in glory. Yes, I can believe in Jesus. Yes, there is life after death. Yes, there is hope beyond this world. Yes, there is something for all of the toil and pain that we go through every day of our lives. Yes, there is more than this." And all I could say was hallelujah. And so here in the gospel text, you have Mary Magdalene, who is coming to the tomb. And while she's at the tomb, she did not expect Jesus to be alive. Jesus had been teaching them for 3 years. Jesus had been walking with them and telling them, "I'm going to die, but I'm going to get up again. I'm going to be down, but I'm going to get up again." And then all of a sudden, when it happened, the folk didn't believe it. Hallelujah. And so Mary Magdalene went to the tomb expecting Jesus to be in the tomb because she did not believe that there is no way this person who is dead is going to raise up again. Amen. Even though Jesus had raised up Lazarus. Even though Jesus had touched Jairus' daughter. Even though Jesus had performed all these miracles, yet she did not believe that Jesus was alive. And so Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and when she opened the tomb, she found that the stone was there. And when the stone was there, she was saying, "What have you done with my Jesus, gardener? Where is Jesus at? Where is Jesus?" And Jesus says to her, "You don't even understand who I am. I've been changed. All of the scars, all of the pain, all of my flesh being torn apart, all of that which we have seen has been transformed by my Father. I'm not what I was, but I've been transformed." Are you with me, church? Say amen. And so Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb, she didn't believe Jesus was alive. But then when she saw this gardener who turns out to be Jesus, and to see that Jesus had been changed, and all of the pain, all of the scars had been removed from his body, and his Father had healed him and raised him up from the dead, here Mary looked at him differently and says, "Oh my God, it's Jesus." Amen, church? Says, "Oh my God, it's Jesus." Now, it tells you in the scripture that the disciples, listen to this, the disciples, when they found out that Jesus wasn't in the tomb, they went home. Amen. You see, it was Mary Magdalene that went to the tomb. They say, "Where is my Jesus?" It reminds me of my wife. If something's wrong with my kids, let me tell you something. There's nothing going to stop my wife from finding her kids. Amen. I mean, here what I'm saying is the fact that Mary Magdalene pressed when she didn't find Jesus. The disciples saw that Jesus wasn't there, and they went back home and said, "Okay, it's done, y'all. It's over. Party's over." All right. It reminds you almost like some pastors. "Oh, here I go. I'm going there. Amen. What are we going to do when Pastor Rose ain't here now? Hello. Oh, Lord, who the bishop going to send us now? Hello? Am I right? I'm going there, y'all. I'm going right up there." Now, listen. Now, you know, it's kind of like saying, "Lord, is there really hope beyond Jesus, are you still alive? Are you still able to raise up that which is dead? Are you still able to provide that which is, to heal that which is broken? Are you still able to do what you said you're going to do 2,000 years ago? And I can hear Jesus in glory saying, yes, I can. Yes. I can bless Trinity with Pastor Freeman or without Pastor Freeman. It ain't got nothing to do with Pastor Freeman. It's got everything to do with what I did on the cross. Amen. God is saying that he is still available, but the disciples couldn't see it, but Mary did. So the disciples really didn't understand that Jesus was alive. See, they had heard he was alive. They heard from the testimonies of other people, Josephus and other writers and historians. They heard from people in the community, everybody running around saying, you know what? We went to that man's funeral down there, an officer, and man, they had a big laid out. They had him all laid out there. He had a great big spread for him. The whole community turned out, and they fed thousands of people. And all of a sudden, you know what? That brother is walking the streets of East St. Louis. Are you with me? Now, a lot of folk that believe in him will say, now, y'all just lying. Y'all lying. That ain't him. That's somebody look like him. And that's what the disciples were doing. That's not him. That's somebody that looks like him. But understand what I'm saying is that many times in our lives, when Jesus comes to us, Jesus comes in a way in which we don't expect it. But we got to be ready for Jesus to make it happen in our lives. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? So they thought that Jesus was dead. And then they heard that he was alive. But it's not necessarily that you know that Jesus died and that he was, you know, he was buried and that he rose again. It's not just enough that you know that, yes, he did live and he walked among 50 other people and 500 people witnessed his resurrection. I mean, his resurrection. It's not that all the Roman historians and Jewish leaders knew that something was going to happen, but it was this. It was the fact that each and every day of our lives, when we get up, every day of our lives, when we get up, there is a little bit of God in us. And it is that God that's in us that tells us that we need to connect with the living God. And when we connect with that living God, God says that I will give you the ability to do things that you have never done before. I will bless you beyond your dreams. I will honor you beyond what you ever have imagined. Understand, hear me, Trinity. Are you with me, Trinity? Are you with me, Trinity? God says this, that we are people of God. And as people of God, we have to believe that Jesus Christ is alive. Now look at the text, if you will, in Matthew chapter 28. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 28, the last part. And this is where I'm going to, verse 9. Just then, Jesus met them and said, good morning. They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And when they worshiped him, they actually took the tears and the praise, and they began to wipe his feet. But then listen to this. Then Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Amen, Trinity? Jesus told them, do not be afraid. And then he tells them something else that I really need to teach you here this morning. He said one word. He said, go. That word go there in that text means it's a present participle. It means this. It's a present tense, meaning at this moment. And it's a participle, which means as you're going daily, day by day, as you're walking through something, as you're going through something. So when Jesus told the disciples, okay, you know that I died. You know that I rose again. You know that I am alive. Now I want you to do something. I want you to go. How do you want us to go? I want you to go as you are in your present moment, in your present state. I want you to go, and I want you to help other people to get to know who I am as you're going in your daily life. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus says Easter is about going and doing. Easter is about going and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Amen? Amen. understand, Jesus was telling the disciples that were there, he's telling Mary Magdalene and others, I want you to go, I want you to get up right now, and I want you to testify as you're going about what I have done and that I am alive. And because I am alive, I want you to tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. And when they meet me in Galilee, I'm going to be there waiting for them. Understand, here, you got to get this, Trinity. When you invite somebody to church, are you with me? Hear what I'm saying. God is saying that as you on your daily job, look for a way in which you can talk about God. When you're working and your daily tasks, look for a way that you can talk about God. When you're out talking to your neighbors on the street and they're washing their cars, or you're at the barber shop, or you're at the beauty shop, whatever it is, look for a way that you can talk about God. And then tell them about Trinity Church. Say, come on to Trinity Church. And when they get to Trinity Church, that's when they can meet a living God, a God that's not dead, a God that is alive. That's why you invite folk to church. Why? Because God is at church. Hello. I know God's in the streets. I know God is everywhere. But let me tell you something. It's different when you walk in the house of God. It's different when you walk with believers. It's different when you see folk that have fallen and get up and praise God. It's different when you see folk that are on the corner doing what they gotta do, but now they left the corner and now they're in church. Let me tell you, it's different church when you know that she does well. Whoa. Woo! It's different. Because of Easter Sunday, that's when God says we as believers need to go each and every day of our lives. And as we're going, talk about the love of God. Talk about what he's done for you. Talk about how he healed you. Talk about how he raised you up. Talk about how he gave you a job. Talk about how he blessed your children. Talk about how he's done some good things in your life. Talk about him every day. Talk about him everywhere you go. When your wife gets mad, just start talking about Jesus. When your children don't act right, just tell them about Jesus. And when they really get ugly, say, you're going to church with me next week. Because I want you to meet my Jesus. I want you to see my Jesus. I want you to experience my Jesus. Do I have a witness in the choir? Oh, church, I don't know about you. I didn't come to look pretty. I came to give God praise. I came to give him glory for what he's done for me. You see, that's what Easter Sunday's about. And that's what Trinity Church is about. It's about whosoever is out need to come in. And when they get here, they meet Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Do I get an amen, church? Praise God. But the idea is that when you get here, you got to meet him. And the way you meet him is by saying, Jesus, brother, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I think I'm going to make it. I don't know. Jesus, brother, Father, help me. I need you. Will you help me to be person you created me to be? Help me to be that person. And that's when Jesus, when you come up here and when you kneel or when you stand, it's called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes over and meets you right there. And says this, if you step out, then God says, I'll be with you. You go ahead. Just take some steps. I remember my daughter, who was a quadriplegic, and she was in Chicago, and they would teach her how to walk. I remember it so vividly because I was sitting there going, how in the world are you going to help her to walk? And they put braces and everything all over her body, and she stood up. And let me tell you something. When my daughter, full of those braces, took that first step, let me tell you something. I dropped to my knees, and I cried, and I said, glory, hallelujah, everything's going to be all right. And for you, it's about you making that first step. Yes. And when you do that, that shows faith. And when you do that, that's when God says, I'll meet you. I'll come and capture you. And then you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. And that's when Jesus says, I'm going to hold you. And then Jesus says, now I want you to go and tell everybody what happened to you at Trinity Church, that you met God, that preacher preached too long, whatever it is, you go and tell them what happened in order that the word, that the people might hear about the living God. You receive it. Where are you this morning on Easter Sunday morning? On Easter Sunday morning, have you really walked up to Jesus and said, Jesus, you know what, brother? I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is I come to church. I'm mad at somebody, so I don't really listen. Come on, y'all. I sat in the pew. I know. You know what I'm talking about? I'm mad at my husband because he didn't give me my dress or my hat. He spent and gave me my shoes. I told him I wanted them shoes. He didn't give me them shoes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's just regular stuff. But isn't it so true that we take the time this Sunday and say, God, I need you. Will you bow your hearts with me? Just bow your heads right where you are. And simply, I'm going to say a prayer. If it expresses the desire of your heart, I'm going to say it again, and I want you to repeat it with me. That means that if you don't know for sure that you're going to make it to heaven, you can't say yes. Just simply say these words quietly in your heart. Father. Father, I am yours. My foot is stretched out. I'm taking that step, Father. Come in my life. Continue to help me to be the person you desire me to be. Forgive me if at any time I heard you calling and I didn't listen. So now, Father, pour in me your Holy Spirit, that I, Father, might go and tell the world that you are alive. Yes. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. As an act of praise to God, as an act of praise to God, I want you to show that step of faith. Just, Jesus says that if you deny me here, I'll deny you in glory. Is that what scripture says? So if you said that prayer in your heart as an act of praise to God, just stand to your feet. Raise your hand or stand to your feet. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about folk looking at you. It's about Jesus now. It ain't about that other stuff. It's about Jesus. 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 Now, those of you who are seated, those of you who are seated, I want you to stand up, and I want you to reach your hand towards somebody that's standing. Just put your hand toward, you got to touch them. Just put your hand towards them, because you're going to be ambassadors for Christ, and we're going to pray for one another. Isn't that all right? Hallelujah. Father God, we give you thanks and praise right now, Father, for those who have stepped out in faith, Father, and said, Father, I know today that you're in my life, and now, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, help me to live that life each and every day. Help me to talk about Jesus, to live for Jesus, to be able to breathe freely, knowing that Christ is with me. Father, pour out your blessing on those saints who have stood in faith. Bless them, Lord Jesus, mightily. In Jesus' name. All church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. I know this is different, but also in this, maybe somewhere this morning, those of you who had your hands raised, you've never been baptized. Amen. You have never been baptized. It ain't going to take but a minute. We'll let you out on time. You've never been baptized. You may have never been baptized. And this morning you said, Pastor Freeman, I made that step. Now can you throw some water on me so I can know, I can tell the world that I mean this stuff. I mean this. So if you've never been baptized, we're going to invite you to just come straight down for it. Just come straight down. We're almost ready. We're getting ready to take up our offering, and then we're going to have the blessing, and we'll be out of here in no time. Just let the Holy Spirit do its work. Amen, church? Amen. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. If you've never been baptized, just come on down. Come on down. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to make Trinity Church your home, your church home, we're inviting you to come. Amen. If the Lord, brother, will trust in the Lord, will trust in the Lord until I. Amen. Isn't God good, church? Hallelujah. Come on, church. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I. Oh, isn't God good, church? Amen. Let's prepare for our offering this afternoon. And let's give an offering right this morning. Let's give an offering that shows that we are happy in Jesus. Amen. Let's prepare ourselves for our offering this morning. Amen. God is good. Trinity Church, you're a blessed church. And I thank God for your patience. I thank God for your patience. I'm going to say a prayer up here. I'm going to say a blessing. Amen. And then Trinity folk, you all know how you do your thing. Amen. We're going to walk and testify about Jesus. Amen. And that's going to be your final blessing. Again, on behalf of Felicia and I and my children, we wish you a happy Easter. And may your days be blessed of God. Yes. And now receive this.